Father, we're here today, Lord, and whether we're physically tired or our foot is in pain or our kids have been out of control or whatever has been going on, God, we just give everything to you. Lord, you're the one we're here to meet with, and we want to sit at your feet today and hear your words. And God, I pray that it wouldn't just be a moment in time that we just come here to have church and we go on our way, but Lord, that we would truly meet with you today. Lord, as your presence is here, because your word says that wherever two or three are gathered, that you are in the midst of us. So we can't count on that, Lord. We count on your word. We count on you being here. And you're not only here because we're here corporately, but Lord, you also live in each and every one of us. And Lord, I thank you that when you are present in our lives, Lord, that we can just bask in your presence, we can rely on you, we can trust in you, and Lord, you will help us. And so, Father, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word today. I pray that you would help me, God, to be the messenger, a conduit for your word and your spirit to flow through. And Lord, I pray that we would take your word to heart and not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And that, Lord, we would grow in you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, give somebody a high five, because we've got to wake up a little bit. Amen. Some of them are a little like, slow motion, but we could do it. Dennis, you're behind me, right? All right. Hey, yeah, there. All right. I know you noticed, but my phone is on because we stream, and we have a Good News Facebook page, but we're not up there yet to be on the Facebook to... I'm sorry. Let me adjust myself. To go live on Good News yet, we have 80-something. We need 100. But it's encouraging because when I do go live, we've had about 500 people watch it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Exactly. So we have a in-person campus and a... So we're big time. So I watched last week. It was over 500 people that have watched it. So we got to get ourselves together, right?
Yeah.
So, but God is good. God is moving. And I'm excited for prospects of a new place. And... see what the Lord has in store for us, and it's exciting to me. I hope it is to you. It's not mundane. It's not blasé. God is working. If you have, good. Thank you, Mom. I'm glad you're with me. Psalm 34 is where we're going to be today. And last week was a very convicting message to some inside jokes. So, but I've been thinking a lot about last week's message about being satisfied in God and thinking and praying through it. And it's not just one message, but wanted to keep that thought and keep that kind of going, if you want to call it a series, a little mini series or whatever. But being satisfied in the Lord is something that we really need to think about, meditate on, and ask the Lord to help us to be consecrated to Him, that our lives are centered on Him, and that we let everything else fall where it may, but we ask the Lord, help me to put you first in my life, and that I would be content in you and you alone. Amen?
Amen.
So, a few questions just to, you know, get the cobwebs out of our brains a little bit. Last week we talked about this whole idea, does God really satisfy you? Are you content in God? Does he make you content? Does he make you fulfilled? Are you fulfilled in God? Or are you always looking for something else? You got to have more. You got to have another thing, this, that, or the other thing. Or is God really fulfilling you? These are really hard questions, really. And it is nothing that I'm saying I've attained in any degree at all, but I'm thankful that the Word challenges all of us, especially the speaker, because we're held to a higher account even And so we need to really understand, am I really fulfilled in God? Is He everything in my life? If everything else would fade away and I just had Jesus, would I be fulfilled? If you lost everything, if everything just, you know, went away, would we be satisfied and content in Him? Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. And we need to just come back to this whole thing that everything is about Him. So in thinking about last week's message and this whole idea of being satisfied in God and being content with Him, I'm just so thankful that every time we spend any moment with God in the Word, it's always this whole new thing that we can hear from Him, that we can get something that we didn't get before, or that He just does something new in our lives. The Word of God is always fresh, right? Yeah. Or it should be. It should never be stale. It should be like fresh bread, fresh manna. And in thinking about this, I was asking the Lord to help me, and then I was reading and I read Psalm 34. So what I want to do is, whether it's in a teaching mode, more or less, whatever today, but I want to read Psalm 34, and then we're going to look at the history of it, and then we're going to break it down. So that's where we're going today. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack no thing. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all them. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems, amen, the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Amen. Psalm 34 is very interesting because there's history to it. Turn to your neighbor and say there's history. There's history to this psalm. When one of the traps I personally feel is that when you read the scripture and you say, okay, David wrote that, and you read it, and you move on, but there's always a story behind something. And when you really look into Psalm 34, it's pretty intriguing. So many times you read these like, I will bless the Lord at all times and taste and see that the Lord is good and all these great, you know, nuances and things and promises that we can quote and we've heard before. But there's a story behind David's praise. And Psalm 34 really comes from 1 Samuel 21 verses 13 through 15 that David is doing something that seems a little odd and a little strange. We're in a time where he is running away from Saul, and he is, he's king, but all this is going on. I don't know, Fred, you know the history better than I do, but so much is going on. But what is so incredible is that David makes himself insane in front of Abimelech in order for him to save his life. He goes mad. And let me read this in 1 Samuel. It says, "So he changed his behavior," this is David, "before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" David was pretending to be absolutely insane in order for Abimelech or King, King Achish to not kill him. It's an incredible backstory of Psalm 34. And when you read that, which I thought it was so intriguing, that right after David acts totally insane, totally crazy, in order to save his life, he then writes out Psalm 34 that he would bless the Lord at all times. It is a very intriguing part of David's history of just keeping himself and not having anybody kill him or all these things, that he acts to the point where he's drooling, he's acting insane. The king tells his men, "Why would you even bring me another madman? I've got enough." And that was the way that David preserved himself from being killed. And then he writes Psalm 34. We don't get it because I'm just saying these words or trying to say them. And this whole moment in history is extraordinary, that David is going to such a crazy degree of protecting himself by becoming totally insane, and then he writes Psalm 34. Are you following me? Little crazy, right? But then in all these things, we find that David finds his satisfaction in God no matter what is going on. That's the point of all this that I'm trying to say. That no matter what David is trying to preserve himself from, totally going insane, acting like he's a madman, and then just to preserve himself, to stay alive, to all these things that are going on, and then he writes, "I will bless the Lord at all times." So, what is so interesting about Psalm 34 is many things, but what I want to do is break it into four different parts of how David finds his satisfaction in the Lord and how that manifests or how that shows up. So, I feel like I'm struggling a little bit, so I hope you're with me. So many times we say we want to be content in God or satisfied in God, but we don't know how to show it. Follow me? I got one amen. My wife. Anybody else? Thankful for my wife supporting me. And so David is saying there are four different things, I feel, from Psalm 34 that he shows or it manifests in his life of how he's satisfied in God. So what I want to do is, I don't know if it's on, there's a repeating phrase that I want to put up. I sent it. There we go. That one there. So in all four of these things, I'm going to say the manifestation of a life satisfied in God. And I want you to get that, because Psalm 34 is how we're going to break it into four different pieces of how David finds his satisfaction in the Lord. But the manifestation, how does it become real? How does he show it, is in these four ways. All right. Number one. The manifestation of a life satisfied in God is a life filled with praise. So after we've said all that we just did about him acting like a mad, crazy man, drooling and doing all that he did to protect himself from this king who would kill him, David then says, in all that is going on in my life, if I'm really satisfied in God, then it, in order for that to manifest, then it has to manifest in a life of praise. He says in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at some times. Good. That chuckle says you're following with me. I will bless the Lord at when? At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now again, the context is that he is doing whatever he can to protect himself from harm and danger and this and that. The application, I think, so many times is that because we are humans, we do everything we can to protect ourselves. We have defense mechanisms, don't we? We do everything we can so that people don't hurt us if we've been hurt before, or we do whatever we can because we know we're in trouble, or this or that is happening around us. And David is saying that in the context of him acting completely insane like a madman, he then says that if I really am satisfied in God, and how it will be manifested in my life is that no matter what is going on, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will be continually in my mouth. So, if we are completely satisfied in God, and we use this term, divorce ourselves or separate ourselves from all that's going on in life, and we say, no matter what, because I'm satisfied in God, I will praise him continually. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Crickets, thank you. I need an amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise him when things are at their worst. So many times we'd rather watch Netflix or take a bath or go for a walk or do whatever we have to do because things are just falling apart. And I want to just encourage all of us that when we are in such dire straits as David seemingly was, that we need to make a radical choice to stop the complaining, stop the murmuring, stop the this, stop the that, and say, Lord, I'm just going to praise you through this. You are my all in all. You know what's going on. You have everything in control. And God, I'm going to praise you, and I choose to praise you. So a life filled with praise is the manifestation that I'm satisfied in God. Number two, we find it here in verse 3. The manifestation of a life satisfied in God is inviting others to experience what you're experiencing. Present tense. Let me read it here. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Do you remember when you first got saved? You first came to church. You first had an encounter with God or an experience with God. And what did you want to do? Hopefully, it was to tell everybody. You wanted to share about how good God was. You wanted to share that you got to the grocery store and you prayed for a parking space and there it was. I mean, that's how exciting. You're really tired today, aren't you? That's how exciting it was to serve God. And remember how it was amazing that when you would read the Bible, it just came alive to you. And hopefully it still is now. But what we need to do is get back to the simplicity of how exciting our salvation truly is. And to think about what God has saved us from. And to think about what he's doing in our life, present tense. And think about how he's protected you and he's saved you and he has provided for you. And all the things that God is doing present tense in the here and the now. And David is saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us corporately exalt his name together. A life that is completely satisfied by the Lord is inviting other people and saying, let's worship God together. Let's acknowledge him and admonish him. We all got our problems. Anybody got problems? Amen. That was a great sign of hands. But if we would take that hand of saying, yeah, I got problems, to saying, I'm going to lift both hands and say, but my God is bigger than my problems. God can do all things. He's more than enough. God can heal. God can save. God will deliver. And let us corporately worship the Lord together. Why? Because we are satisfied in Him. No matter what comes our way. And I think so many times we take worship for granted. And we sing a couple songs and we keep it moving, but it should be that moment in our service, not just corporately, we'll go to the next thing in a second, but corporately as we gather. We should be ready to worship God, right?
Amen.
We should be ready with hearts full of praise. May not know the words to the song, but our heart is filled with praise. And think back of all the things that God has done for you this week and corporately as we come together, that it should be like a crescendo, this moment where we worship God together in the beauty of His holiness. Now even take that to moments where we are personally at home and we put on worship music and we lift up our hands and we just change the environment of our home, of our apartment, and say, God, I'm just going to worship You and love on You and feel Your presence and know that You're real. And then when David says, no matter what is going on, let's magnify the Lord. I love that word magnify because it's just like a magnifying glass, right? Yeah. To make God bigger than our problems. Make Him bigger than the situation we're going through. Make Him bigger than the he said, she said, or all that's... Magnify the Lord and let us magnify Him together and worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. So again, the manifestation of a life satisfied in God is inviting others to experience what we're experiencing. That is also a part of church growth. Turn to your neighbor and say, amen.
Amen.
And now say, he's talking about you. Do you know that it's great? I learned this a while ago. It's not that I'm free, but I'm free of this. It's not up to me to grow Good News Church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'll do my part, but we all have to do our part. And what's our part? Inviting other people to church. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a tough crowd, Eunice. We got to invite other people and say, hey, come on. You know, we got great children's ministry. We got youth ministry, we got bagels, we got coffee, you know? Come on. Let's invite other people to worship God together because we're so satisfied in Him. Let's do like David did and invite other people to exalt His name together. Number three, the manifestation of a life satisfied in God is your personal testimony is shared openly without shame. Let me say that again. The manifestation of a life satisfied in God is your personal testimony is shared openly without shame. So here's a couple things here in verses 4 through 6 and 17 through 19. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Now think again. David was in dire straits of becoming so immersed in all that he had to do that he became a madman, drooling and doing all that he did that the king was like, who is this guy? And David is saying that the Lord heard this poor man cry out to him, and he heard the cries of God. Of me. God heard my cries. He heard my troubles. And He saved me from them. How interesting it is that when you read a lot of what David is saying, oftentimes he's very vulnerable. And God can handle David's vulnerability. I love reading the Psalms when David complains. Not just because David is complaining, but because there's a reality of our life that things aren't always going the way we want them to. And we wonder, when is this going to happen? Why is that happening? Why am I going through this or that? Whatever. And we could take that and take it to God. And God can handle our complaints. God can handle what we're going through. And when we read that David is saying that this poor guy, this poor man, David himself, "I cried to the Lord and he heard me," tells us how important it is that we need to be vulnerable with one another when we can trust one another and so forth. That when you're having a bad day, it's okay to say, "I'm having a bad day, but God. And God will deliver me. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed," or my boss is handling things the wrong way, or whatever is going on. And then say, "But yet I prayed and God answered and God helped." And man, it's good to know that we serve a God that when we cry out to Him, He hears the cry of His people. And just to be vulnerable with one another and say, "Man, things weren't going the way I thought they would, but I cried out to the Lord and He heard my cry and He opened the door and He made a way." There's a couple of other verses here in 17 through 19. It says, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Again, it's being vulnerable with God, vulnerable with one another, or not even going all the way, but saying, "Man, I didn't really have a great week, but I know that God was there. God heard my cry. God helped me. God delivered me." And not having shame in our game either, because that's a tactic of the enemy, to fill us with shame and guilt of what we did yesterday, or how we weren't the greatest father, or all these things that, man, we could have so many hang-ups with, and we could say, "Man, I really missed it." Thank God for God's grace. I love that He puts a garland of grace upon our head. And man, when we miss it, it's okay. We're human. And it's not that we keep making that mistake, but man, when we miss it, especially as parents, how many times have I missed it? How many times have you missed it? Where you feel, "Man, I wish I wouldn't have said it that way. Or why did I react that way? Man, if I could just take that moment back." But do you know God can handle that? And just say, "Lord, help me to be a better parent, be a better husband, be a better wife." And just say, "Man, I'm just weak in that area." I love how Scripture teaches us to confess your sin one to another. Oh man, that's tough to hear. Who wants to do that? And it's not in saying, "Well, you know, I did, like really giving the dirt," but just being vulnerable with people that you trust and saying, "I need help. I need to get out of that funk. I need to think better." Anybody need to think better? "Man, I need to get out of this depressive state. I need to be around people who are positive and people who are filled with faith. And God, I need help." And God is an ever-present help. But when we think that we are like a, you know, that we're, you know, like a robot, that we, you know, we're perfect, which nobody does, but I mean, it's like we're fake. You know, it's okay not to be fake. It's okay not to wear a mask. It's okay not to say that everything is always fine. But to also say, "But God is my Redeemer. God is my help. God will deliver. God will strengthen. Man, I missed the mark, but thank God for His grace that He forgave me. He washed me." Amen? Amen. And finally, we find here, the fourth one, is that the manifestation of a life satisfied in God is that our outward display says that there is never a lack in the life of a believer. And this we find in verses 9 and 10. It says, "O fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lion suffers want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." What an incredible promise that is. Because there again, quoting from last week, Jesus said, you know, to seek my kingdom first. Put me first. And then all these things will be added unto you. David is saying the same thing here, that if I fear God first, and fearing God, hopefully you know, is not being afraid of Him, not that He has like a hell button, you know, like there's a trap door, you know, and man, poop. But saying, God, I rever you. Yeah. I put you first. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know the heart of God. God, I trust you. God, I worship you. And fearing Him, when I put Him first, then David says, those who fear Him have no lack. The world lacks, right? There's not enough people they can sleep with. Hello. Right? There's not enough. There's never enough. But to the saint, to the believer, he says, those who fear Him have no lack. We don't need anything else. And I'm speaking to myself. I don't need enough. I just give me more of God. Just give me more of you, Lord. More of your presence. More of a hunger for you. You know, the days that we're living, we all know it's a crazy world. But you know, it's all pointing to one thing. Jesus is coming soon. Unapologetically, I say that He is coming soon. And no matter who's in the office, I was in a meeting this week and they said, whether it's an elephant or a donkey in the office, Jesus is still the line of the tribe of Judah. Isn't that great? Whether there's a donkey or an elephant, Jesus is still the line of the king. Why do I keep saying it that way? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Man, I'm messing up today. But how great to know that no matter what is going on, God's in control. Amen?
Amen.
So, we find from this psalm, which is just an incredible, incredible psalm, that when I have my life totally centered on Him and I'm satisfied in Him, that my life is filled with praise. I'm inviting others to experience what I'm experiencing. My personal testimony is shared openly without shame. And my outward display is that there's no lack because I trust and I fear in God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and pray and ask the Lord to help us as we go into a couple songs of worship and just ask the Lord to help us in this time. Father, I thank You for Your word today. Thank You, Lord God, that Your word is what matters, not the messenger, not how there's words of eloquence or things all sound right, but Lord, it's Your word. God, I pray that You would just instill Your word deep into our hearts, that, Lord, You would teach us to put You first and to be satisfied and content in You. And God, I pray that You would just fill us with a hunger for You, and that we would realize that nothing in this world will satisfy the longing of our heart. Lord, as we just spend a couple moments in worship, I pray that You would help us to turn our hearts towards You, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we just thank You that You are good to us. And Lord, no matter what is going on in our lives, Lord, we can look to You. And Lord, we just choose to do that today and beginning of this week. And Lord, I thank You that You are there. Lord, You haven't left us. You're present. You're there. And so many times, Lord, we think we can handle things on our own. But it falls apart. And remind us, Lord, that without You, we're nothing. But with You, God, we can handle it. And Lord, You're with us and You'll strengthen us. Bless us as we go. I pray Your protection over our kids, our families. Lord, it's so heavy on my heart to pray for the family in the Bronx that the girl was found in a suitcase because her ex-boyfriend killed her. And Lord, there's so many tragedies that go on in our city, named and unnamed. And we need revival in New York City. We need, God, for You to move in every church, Lord, and in every borough, and to awaken the body of Christ in New York City. God, I pray that You would just help us, Lord, as we go to our jobs and take the kids to where they want to go, and or that you would empower us to invite other people to know you, not necessarily church, but to know Jesus. For Lord, you are coming soon, and we live in such a volatile world, and the only answer is you, God. And I pray that you would empower us by the Holy Spirit to do just that. Bless us as we go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.